It was a familiar joke that managed to chase away the last of the tension Sonica felt between her shoulder blades. "The stones broke well," her father answered, his standard response. Dinner was soon served, and Gat ate three portions before standing to heft the pot full of leftovers on his shoulder. "Want company?" Sonica asked. "Nah," he said. "Help Mother clean up." Sonica groaned, wishing she'd been quicker to grab the pot. As soon as he was gone, Bryder said, "Get out of here. We'll manage." A smile danced across her lips. "Really?" It was unlike her mother to let her shirk her chores. "As long as you live in our cave, you will do your part," was her mother's favourite saying. "Really? There will be plenty to clean another day." "Thank you," Sonica said, offering her mother a more real hug than the last one. Nervous energy thrummed through her as she raced from the cave, turning to face the wall, which was sheathed in sunlight. She stared up, her eyes quickly locating the hand and footholds that would provide the easiest climb to the top, a climb she'd completed more times than she could count. She wasn't in the mood for easy. Instead, she chose the most difficult of the routes, using protrusions and indentations that offered just enough space for her toes or three of her fingers. Before she was halfway to the top, sweat poured from her brow. She paused in a decent resting spot where she could cling with one hand, and reached back into the pouch strapped to her waist. It was full of the chalk powder meant for her face, but which she used to coat her hands, sopping up the sweat and improving her grip. As she began to climb again, the canyons began to darken, the sun slipping past the top of the opposite wall. She'd have to hurry if she was going to make sunset. Her muscles straining, her fingers and toes beginning to ache, she extended her arms and legs, skipping holds. At one point, all she could reach was a sheer rock wall. Above it were plenty of decent clefts, if only she could get to them. "Mother would kill me if she saw this," she thought. And then she leapt, extending her hand and grabbing the rock, her feet scrabbling at bare wall beneath her. Her other hand slapped down, gripping another hold. Slowly, inch by inch, she hauled herself up. The rest was easy, and soon she clambered over the canyon's edge, flopping onto her back and staring up at the darkening sky, which was now splashed with pinks and purples, speckled with early stars and the dim outline of Ruahi, the red moon god. Luahi, the green moon goddess, was still hiding, waiting for her mother, the sun goddess, Sarai, to vanish completely over the horizon. Lying like this, seeing the vastness of creation, listening to her own breaths as they joined the cool breeze blowing over the plateau, Sonica could almost believe there was no slavery, no cruelty, no war. And then she heard a familiar sound. She cringed, rolling to peek over the edge, back into the canyon. Hundreds of people walked, their gaits identical in their stiffness, all heading in the same direction. They didn't speak, the only sounds from their feet, which seemed to whisper to each other. The slaves had returned from another day of oppression and hardship. Sonica spotted Gat returning with the pot. Some of the slaves would return to their cubicles to find extra food for them and their families. Others would have to fend for themselves. "We should be doing more," Sonica thought, not for the first time. "But what?" Another form caught her eye below, her father emerging from their cave, looking up. He waved to her, but it wasn't a greeting. It was the signal they'd established long ago, when Sonica was naught but a girl who liked to climb. It had been months since her father had asked if he could come up to join her. Grinning, she crawled over to the long coil of rope she'd brought up years earlier, securing it to the cliffs with a metal stake driven deep into the rock. Her father was a decent climber, but the cliffs were beyond his ability. She tossed the coil over the side, well clear of her father, watching as it unspooled to the canyon floor. Then she sat back and waited, watching as the rope twisted and rocked back and forth. Eventually, Lor Vade slipped over the top, his face red with exertion but still smiling and twinkle-eyed. "Thanks," he grunted, easing down beside her. The rope was tied securely around his waist, and he left it there for the descent. "I'm glad you came up." "Your mother practically threw me out." Sonica laughed, playing with her long black hair, braiding and unbraiding it again and again. "What are we going to do?" Sonica asked. her smile vanishing as she heard the sound of marching slaves rise up once more. She could feel her father's gaze on her face, but she didn't meet his eyes for fear of being enchanted. She didn't want to be calm. Not right now. She wanted to be fire and fury, righteous anger and promises of change. She wanted to be someone else. "You sound like your mother."
"What?"
Now she did turn to look at him, surprised. It was so similar to what her mother had said earlier about them being alike.
"What do you mean?"
"Mother does nothing but cook extra beans."
"Watch your tongue," her father snapped. Well, perhaps snapped was too harsh a word.
He spoke the words with a sharpness Sonika rarely heard from him.
"Why? It's true."
Her father sighed, looking away, staring at Luahi, which was just rising to the east.
"I'm sorry. I'm not being fair. You can't help what you don't know."
Now Sonika was lost.
"Know what?"
"For one, cooking extra beans is not nothing. It is a lot of effort trying to feed hundreds of slaves."
"I didn't mean—"
"I know you didn't, but please, be more careful with your words."
"I will. I'm sorry," Sonika said.
She'd let her quick tongue get the better of her again.
"Second, you are so much like your mother, it scares the rock dust out of me," he said.
He chuckled.
"And that's a lot of rock dust. You should see how much comes out of my ears alone."
Despite the added jape, Sonika couldn't bring herself to smile.
"We're nothing alike," she said. "She's content to plod along day after day, cooking her beans and watching the cycle of oppression continue. I don't want to be that way. I want to do more."
Though her father continued to stare at the moon, Sonika saw something flash across his face. A twitch of his cheek, the slight parting of his lips. It felt like words were hanging on the tip of his tongue, but none fell. They sat in silence for a while, which was usually fine, but now felt wrong. Eventually, however, he patted her shoulder and said,
"We should get back before it gets too dark. You'll ride with me to the bottom?"
Sonika bit her lip, considering whether to ask Law what he'd wanted to say before, but deciding against it. Her father would tell her when he was ready. She awoke to ragged whispers and a loud voice, a heated argument. Sonika rolled over in bed to find figures silhouetted against the lighter frame of the cave mouth. One was clearly her father. Half a dozen others flanked him. Two held torches, illuminating the leather armor of the others.
Soldiers,
Sonika thought, a warning bell ringing in her head.
What could they possibly need in the middle of the night?
Fine, Lorvade said. I will go with you. Just please do not wake my family. I don't want them to see.
He hung his head as if ashamed of something.
Father, what has happened? What have you done?
Fool, one of the soldiers said. We're not here for you. We're here for your wife.
Sonika frowned. She looked over at where her mother should have been sleeping, but the bed was empty. Scanning the space, she found the faint outline of her mother huddled in the shadows behind the supper table.
My wife? What is a woman to you? She spends her days here, preparing our meals and keeping our home.
Sonika had never heard her father trivialize his wife's life in such a way. Though the words were true, she had the urge to speak up, to defend Bryda, to talk of her compassion. She threw her legs over the side of her bed and started to stand, but Gat appeared beside her, holding her arm tightly, shaking his head. She stared at him.
We have to do something,
she whispered. Another shake.
Your wife is a traitor to the Empire,
the soldier growled.
She has committed treason of the highest order. Would you deny it? If so, you are as guilty as she.
His father seemed to stand straighter at that.
I am the guilty one. I planned the meetings. I recruited the others. I am the traitor you're looking for.
The soldier laughed.
You are a lot of things, stonemason, but you're no traitor. Stand aside or be cut down.
Oh, gods.
Sonika's father was no warrior, had never trained in any of the martial arts. He was a laborer, a hard worker, yes, but no kind of fighter.
Please back down, Father. Please. This can all be explained, surely.
Sonika knew neither her mother nor her father had done anything wrong. It was all a misunderstanding. Had to be. A long silence stretched its legs, until she could take it no longer. Once again she tried to stand, wrestling against her brother's formidable grip. Her mother slipped from the shadows and said,
I am the one you want, soldiers.
I will go without a struggle.
Bryder, no, Law said, turning toward his wife. A wise choice, the soldier said, but it will not save you.
Bryder said nothing to that, and Sonika could only watch as her parents embraced one last time, her mother offering a final glance in her direction before turning away.
And your son and daughter? The soldier said. Where are they?
They know nothing. They are innocent.
This from her mother.
Wait, Sonika thought. What do we not know?
The way her mother said it made her sound guilty.
Take me instead of my son, my daughter, Law said.
The soldier laughed.
We are taking you. We're taking all of you just to be safe. A whole family of captured rebels will make a royal prize to Emperor Vinhosa.
From there, everything happened so fast, Sonika would later remember it as a series of blurry events melting into one another like daylight into twilight. Her father, moved like lightning, striking one of the soldiers in the face with a high kick in the style of Fenru, an art he wasn't supposed to know. The man fell back with a cry, even as her mother jumped into the arms of one of the other soldiers, wrapping her legs around his torso. She threw herself back, vaulting off of her hands and sending the soldier tumbling. As she landed, she screamed,
Sonika! Gat! Run! Climb!
Sonika was so shocked by the turn of events that she froze, but thankfully Gat had already started moving, pulling her after him. They flew toward the entrance, sidestepping the fallen soldier, who was rolling over and standing up. The other four soldiers blocked their path, though her mother and father were keeping two of them busy with blows they were forced to block.
Who are these two people? Her parents had become strangers to her.
Go! Her father shouted. The cliffs! It's the only way!
Sonika hesitated as she faced the last two guards, lean, muscly Phoenicians, strapped with blades on their feet and wrists. One of them grinned at her.
Yes, she'd dreamed of such a moment, when she could take down just such an arrogant soldier, but now that it was here, her confidence vanished.
Gat said, Sonika, up! It was a code word for a game they'd often played as children. Above the cave entrance was a cleft cut into the rock, the perfect size for a hand or four to grip. Sonika nodded.
On three, Gat said.
One, two, Sonika answered.
Three,
they said as one, charging for the two soldiers, who readied themselves to strike. However, just before making contact, Sonika and her brother leapt as high as they could into the air, grabbing the wide handhold and letting their momentum carry them over the guards' heads. They landed beside each other in a crouch. Gat almost went sprawling, but Sonika steadied him with a hand on his elbow.
Come on,
Gat said, dragging her left.
Climb!
Fueled by adrenaline and fear, Sonika sprang onto the cliffs, choosing the easiest hand and footholds, easily outdistancing Gat in a matter of seconds. She looked back to find him struggling to get over the first difficult part.
We should have gone to the right, where the rope is still hanging, Sonika thought.
But then her parents spilled from the cave, still fighting the soldiers, and she realized they could use the rope.
Father!
She cried.
The rope!
Go!
Her father shouted, but after throwing a punch, he spun and made for the rope. Something was strange about the way he moved. He was doubled over and clutching his stomach.
He's injured.
She didn't move, waiting for Gat to catch up, watching as her father grabbed the rope and began to climb with one hand, walking his feet up the wall as he hung on. Her mother, on the other hand, was surrounded by three soldiers. She swept her foot along the ground in a whirlwind circle, cutting their ankles from beneath them.
She's incredible,
Sonika murmured to herself, in awe. Her mother, who had once told her stories of her days dancing the womanly dance of Fen Sir, was using the very same dance to fight against masters of Fenru.
And she was winning. It can be done, Sonika realized in that moment. though she'd always thought it. She'd never truly believed it. Until now. Her mother broke for the wall, but one of the soldiers dove at her feet, grabbing her ankle and tripping her. She cried out, but rolled and managed to kick him in the face. He howled and released her, and then she was on the wall, clambering up beside Law, who was struggling to hang on to the rope with one hand. The soldiers were injured, but not defeated. They raced forward, beginning to climb. It didn't take them long to reach Sonika's father, using the rope to their own advantage. Bryder kicked at them, but they grabbed her feet, pulling her back.
"Gat!"
Sonika screamed, as he hauled himself up beside her.
"We have to do something!"
"Get to the top," he hissed through clenched teeth. "Don't waste the chance."
"No!"
He was already grabbing her arm, pulling her upward. She didn't fight him, even as dread filled her. They were abandoning their parents willingly. She glanced back to find her mother still struggling to kick herself free.
"Bryder,"
her father said.
"Leave me. I'm already finished. The wound is too deep."
"No, I won't."
Her mother's growl was so ferocious she might have been a lioness.
"Think of Sonika. Of Gat."
For a moment, time seemed frozen, her parents hanging helplessly while the soldiers swarmed to reach them. And then Bryder Vade released a scream and a vicious kick that sent one of the soldiers tumbling to the ground. She fought upward, hand over hand, her feet following in perfect rhythm. Sonika had only ever seen one other person climb like that. Herself.
"Cut it!"
Law groaned, grimacing. Blood spilled between his fingers, splashing the soldiers grabbing at his legs, pooling on the ground. Bryder looked back one more time, pulled out a knife hidden somewhere in her clothing, and then began to saw. Both Sonika and Gat watched in horror as their mother cut the rope holding their father to the side of the cliff. He wasn't high enough for the fall to kill him, but it could break his legs, possibly even his back if he landed the wrong way. Yet her mother didn't hesitate.
"How can she do that?"
From behind them, someone yelled, and then a soldier grabbed Sonika, roping his fingers around her neck, squeezing with one hand while hanging onto the wall with the other.
"Gat!"
Sonika gurgled, struggling to breathe. The soldier must have silently climbed the opposite side while they were watching their parents struggle with his comrades. Gat threw a punch, his fist whistling past her eyes and landing a glancing blow on the soldier's chin. The pressure on her windpipe lessened, and she sucked in a breath, thrusting out her knee to connect with his midsection. He groaned, losing his footing as he scrabbled at the loose stones, breaking free. Sonika and Gat climbed, though she glanced back with each move up, watching as the rope finally broke, her father falling away. He took two soldiers with him, and even landed on them, cushioning his fall. He lay motionless for a few long moments, but then rolled over, grimacing.
"He's not dead,"
Sonika thought, releasing a held breath. They climbed higher. The soldier that had tried to choke Sonika had resumed pursuit and was faster than Gat, slowly closing the gap. To the right, Bryder angled her climb toward them, her lips a grim line of determination. Two more soldiers had followed her and now reached the rope and used it to make swift work of the upper portion of the wall. Sonika clambered over the cliff's edge. She swiveled back to help Gat, but the soldier was already upon him, pulling his foot in the opposite direction. One of Gat's hands slipped, and he almost fell, but Sonika managed to clutch the collar of his shirt until he could reattach himself to the wall. Bryder arrived, gripping a cleft in the wall with two hands, and swinging her body to land a kick to the soldier's abdomen. He released Gat, trying to bring up his other arm to block the next blow. The frantic movement threw off his balance, his body twisted, and with a squeal, he fell. Sonika kept her eyes trained on Gat, not wanting to see the aftermath, though she heard the thump of his body as it landed. No one could survive a fall from this height.
"Up, Gat,"
Bryder said, turning back to face the final two soldiers, who were on opposite flanks, trying to surround her. They moved in cautiously, having seen what had happened to their comrade. Sonika hauled Gat onto the plateau, reaching back down to help her mother.
"Mother!"
Two big steps up and she would be within reach. With the upper ground, they would be able to defend against their two remaining foes. Her mother's eyes met hers. Something flashed in them, and Sonika could feel what they were saying in her chest, like a slash to the heart.
Mother, hurry! We can make it!
Her mother smiled.
I love you, she said. I love you both. Be you. Be strong. Mother?
In one swift motion, Bride of Aid twisted around and threw herself from the cliff, grabbing the two Phoenician soldiers as she plummeted to the canyon floor. Sonia had finally stopped screaming, though tears continued to flow freely down her cheeks, her sobs silently shaking her chest, occasionally choking her. Gat cried too, though not as hard, his arms wrapped around her from behind, holding her tight. There was a commotion down below, and eventually he peeled himself away, untethered what was left of the rope from the spike, and pulled it up. "We have to move," he said. "They may send soldiers up after us." Though he spoke the words with certainty, there was a hollowness in his tone that matched what Sonica felt within her ribcage.
"I have to. I want to. I need to,"
Sonica babbled as she crawled toward the edge. Gat grabbed her under the arms and pulled her back. She struggled, thrashing against him, but he held her as she sobbed once more. This time there were no tears, just a shaking of her body that made her muscles and bones ache, her throat hurt, her eyes squeeze shut. She wished for oblivion, for numbness, for anything to take away the pain she felt in the core of her being. Eventually, however, she allowed Gat to help her to her feet, steering her across the plateau toward the next canyon over.
"What are we supposed to do?"
Sonica said the next morning. The previous night, they'd stumbled along the plateau between the canyons for a long time. Sometimes they cried, sometimes they were silent, always they held on to each other for support. Sonica had known that if either of them had let go, they both would have fallen and never gotten up again. Once they felt they were far enough away from danger, they climbed down another canyon, one that was well away from the heart of Fenir, uninhabited. There they'd found a small alcove behind a set of boulders, falling asleep more from exhaustion, both emotional and physical, than a desire to rest. Now, behind those same boulders, they sat across from each other, their knees touching gently. Gat's face was smudged with dirt, his hands raw and bleeding, his shirt torn at the collar where Sonica had grabbed him to help him onto the top of the cliff. She was glad she didn't have a looking glass to see what she looked like.
"I don't know what to do," Gat said. "Did you know Mother could—"
"No," he said.
"But what about Fa—"
"No!" Gat snapped. Sonica hung her head, tears welling up once more. Gat sighed and touched her leg.
"Sorry, I'm—" "You don't have to explain anything. Not to me."
Once more, they huddled together. Gat held her head to his chest for a long, long time. The beat of his heart against her cheek was the only comfort left. They powdered their faces for the first time, using chalk dust they stole from a vendor. Sonica distracted him while Gat snatched it. Though they were still a mess and in need of a good cleaning, that could wait. Every time a soldier passed, Sonica held her breath, halfway between fleeing and kicking him in the throat. And each time the soldier walked straight by. They were just two white-faced Phoenicians out for a stroll. The marketplace was abuzz with gossip, which was the main reason they'd returned to Fenir. They needed to know for certain.
"A rebel group was caught last night,"
one man said to another.
"Traitors to the Empire. Can you believe it?"
Hearing strangers speak of her parents in such a way was hard for Sonica. It was made even harder by the fact that she could scarcely believe it herself. She wondered if her distress showed beneath the thick layer of powder on her face. Gat, on the other hand, hid his interest in the conversation well, pretending to study a swatch of purple fabric meant to be worn as a fashionable belt.
"I hear they're rounding up the rest of the group as we speak," the other man said. "There were 2 dozen of them, living right under our noses."
"What?"
Gat looked at her now, his expression grave.
"But the 2 they caught last night, Lore and Bride of Aid, were the leaders, the organizers. Slave sympathizers, both of them."
Sonica froze upon hearing her parents' names. Out of the corner of her eye,
She saw Gat stiffen too.
They weren't just caught. They were killed. They say the woman fell from the cliffs trying to escape, but the man passed into the void later from a stab wound.
Suddenly, Sonika couldn't breathe. Images flashed across her mind. Her father clutching his abdomen, blood spilling between his fingers like water through a sieve. Her mother's final smile as she fell from the cliffs, taking the last two soldiers with her. Protecting her children to the end. She gasped, trying to pull in the air but failing, her lungs screaming for breath. One of the men glanced at her sharply, frowning, but then Gat was there, steering her away with an arm around her shoulder.
"It's this confounded heat," he explained over his shoulder.
To her, he whispered,
"Breathe, Sonika."
She did, the air making an audible sound as she sucked it into her chest.
"Good riddance, I say,"
one of the men said, continuing their conversation. The breath burst from her lips. Her cheeks flushed and her blood boiled. Who were these men to speak of her parents this way? They didn't even know them. And now they were gone. Anger dwarfed her sadness, and she longed to see these men, these ignorant fools, laid low. She whipped around, stalking back toward—
"Whoa there,"
Gat said, gripping her arm tightly and holding her back.
"Let go of me,"
Sonika said through clenched teeth. "This isn't the time nor the place."
"Did you hear what they said?"
"Every word." Though his words were even, she knew her brother well enough to sense the dangerous undercurrent to them. He wanted to go back every bit as much as she did, but he was being smart. She took another deep breath, fired a final scathing look at the men before turning away. They walked on, past stall and vendor, past the wealthy and their slaves, past soldier and horse. They walked until the marketplace was long behind them.
"I want to kill the Emperor and all his soldiers," Sonika said.
Her anger had faded, and now she spoke the words matter-of-factly. They were sitting atop the plateau once more, watching the last glow of sunlight ebb over the horizon.
"That's not possible," Gat said.
"At least not on our own." But the only thing keeping her hunger and sadness from gnawing her apart from the inside out was the thought of revenge.
"We need to carry on the work they started. We need to make it mean something," she insisted.
"It's too dangerous.
And hiding for the rest of our lives is better. We have no food, no shelter, no clothing other than these ripped, filthy rags. If we're going to live like this, we should at least join the rebellion."
Gat grabbed her shoulders, pulling her head toward him, until all she could see were his eyes, dark green in the dim lighting.
"There is no rebellion," he said. "Don't you see that? What mother and father started? Gone. Emperor Hosa snuffed it out."
Sonika didn't blink.
"Then we'll start another rebellion. If you blow on a hot coal, the fire begins anew."
Gat laughed, pushing her away.
"You don't think I can?"
She stuck out her chin in defiance.
"I didn't say that."
"But you laughed.
Because we haven't eaten in a day. Because we slept less than half the night. Because we—"
he sniffed his armpit—
"smell. And yet you want to discuss a rebellion?"
"Yes.
What else is there to do? And you saw Mother last night? The way she used Fen-Sir to fight off those soldiers? I knew it was more than a dance. I always knew it."
Gat couldn't deny that. She talked about it often enough. It was incredible.
"Did you see the way she moved? Like water and lightning made one."
Sonika nodded, glad to talk about their parents in this way, rather than remembering what happened after.
"Father, too. How could we have been so blind all these years? They hid it well, and we were too busy drumming up business for your Fen-Sir training."
Still, a twinge of regret shot through her. She'd always loved her parents, even when she squabbled relentlessly with her mother. But she'd never been proud of them. They deserved that, more than anyone else in the world.
"I want to make them proud."
"Me too," Gat said immediately. "But first, food."
"Where are we going to get food? Steal it?"
Gat said. "I have a better idea."
Sonika didn't like it, but they were desperate.
I hate this, she said as they dropped to the ground.
Me too, Gat said.
He pointed to the first shadowed cubicle he saw. A light flickered from within. Sonika entered first, offering a soft hello, so as not to startle anyone. Then again, those under the control of Emperor Hoza's slave mark were not easily startled. The slaves turned their heads slowly, just watching her. There was a man and a woman and two children, both old enough to be enslaved. All four had black eyes and the rigid posture to prove it. The woman said,
"Does my master have need of me?"
Sonika shook her head.
"No."
"Me, then?"
the man said.
"No." "We will go,"
the children said in unison.
"Our master doesn't like to be kept waiting."
Gat stepped forward. "None of you is needed by your masters. We come seeking your help." The woman blinked. She'd never seen a slave frown, but this felt like the same thing.
"But you are not our master."
"I know," Gat said. "We're your neighbors. We lived, not far."
"Yes, we know," the man said. "They came for you last night, the soldiers." Sonika felt horrid for what they were about to do. The family was eating a meager meal of breadcrumbs and plain white rice, barely enough for two of them, much less four.
"They killed our parents. We are starving," she said. "Your parents were kind to us," the woman said. "You were always kind to us."
It was Sonika's turn to blink. She'd never realized the slaves could even recognize kindness. Their blank expressions seemed to suggest the opposite.
"We did the best we could,"
Sonika said, tears blurring her vision.
"You may have what is left," the woman said. "Children."
The two children stood and offered their plates to them, and Sonika felt something twist in her.
"It is too much. We will take half if you can afford it."
"As you wish."
The woman whispered something to the girl, who walked past them stiffly out into the canyons. The boy prepared a plate, taking half of what was left on each plate. The plate was a wide, flat rock.
"Thank you," Gat said. The boy bowed.
Sonika wanted to eat slowly, to savor the tasteless pasty rice and stale crumbs, but instead she shoveled it into her mouth with her hands, barely chewing. Her stomach gurgled in appreciation, but then it was gone. Gat licked the crumbs from his lips, looking like he was in a trance.
"Thank you again," he said. "We should go."
"Wait. You can shelter here. And there is more food coming. It will be enough."
"What?"
Sonika said. But just then they heard a commotion outside. One by one they entered the tiny cubicle, slaves all of them, each placing a flat stone on the ground before bowing and departing. Sonika was speechless, so overcome with emotion she could only smile at each person as they placed their gift and left. These people had so little, and yet they were willing to give.
"They remember your kindness, too," the woman said.
Sonika looked at Gat. They smiled at the same time, sitting down to eat.
"What is your name?"
she asked the woman between mouthfuls.
"Slave,"
the woman answered automatically.
"No,"
Sonika said.
"Your name from before."
The woman blinked.
"That was a long time ago. The last time I heard it was on the great ship that brought us here from Terragon."
"You don't remember it?" Gat asked, licking his finger.
"It's like looking through fog. It is there, but it might have been someone else's memory. My name was Anja."
For the barest moment, the time it took her to speak that one word, her name, her voice changed. Gone was the stiffness, the monotone, and the silence was filled with emotion, with passion, with hope that the real woman behind the one bearing the slave mark was still in there, somewhere, not lost.
"What about you?"
Gat asked the man.
"Noah."
Again, that change, like a burst of sunlight between endless rows of dark clouds.
"Your children?"
Anja blinked.
"They were born here. They have no names.
If the children were ashamed or distressed by this fact, they didn't show it, finishing all the food on their plates. Anja began to collect the stones, scrubbing each clean with an old rag. Noah said, "Time for rest." Obediently, the children rolled over onto the bare ground. Noah placed a threadbare blanket across them, one for both of them, barely large enough to cover their sides. Their eyes closed immediately, and they seemed to fall asleep without pause. Sonika wondered whether the slaves dreamed. She hoped so. "Here," Anja said, having finished with the plates. She held a larger blanket out, just as thin as the children's. "Thank you for your kindness," Sonika said. "But no, we will be warm enough inside your home." The woman nodded and laid down beside her children, pulling the blanket over her. She left space for her husband. There would be just enough room for Sonika and Gat if they all pushed together. "At least we can share body heat," Sonika thought, trying to stay positive. And it was unlikely the soldiers would seek them amongst the slaves. "We are safe," she thought, leaning back, nestling her head in the crook of her arm. Gat eased down too, his hand coming to rest atop hers. He squeezed once, and she had the feeling his thoughts were a mirror to her own, although perhaps not the last one, the one that was just now forming, taking shape like a fast-growing tree. The moment before Noah blew out the lantern, Sonika had a single thought. "I am going to free as many of them as I can. I will do whatever it takes." Sonika felt warm when she awoke, and not only because of the body warmth of the men on either side of her. In fact, there was only empty space on one side, where Noah used to be. Gat, however, continued to slumber on the opposite side, his exhalations deep and satisfied. No, she was warm because of the blanket that had somehow shifted from Anja and Noah to she and her brother during the night. "You didn't have to," she started to say, when she saw Anja preparing the morning meal by lantern light. It was still dark in the canyons. Noah and the children moved about her, helping. They moved so easily around each other, never colliding, that it could have been a dance if not for the stiffness in their steps. "I didn't," Anja said, guessing her question. "You pulled the blanket during the night." Shame heated her cheeks. I'm sorry." The woman didn't stop moving, serving breakfast, flatbread dipped in egg yolk, onto flat stones. "Your family fed us many times. We forget many things, but not that. Never that." Sonika remembered when she was much younger, and she used to complain about having to give up a portion of their food to the slaves. On those occasions, her mother always made her deliver the food. Looking back, she felt so selfish. Gat stirred beside her, his eyes fluttering open. His gaze darted around the cubicle, but then softened when it landed on Sonika. "My back feels like I slept on a rock," he said. Reaching underneath him, he plucked out a rock. "Oh, that explains it." "Eat," Anja said, offering a single flat stone for them both. "Thank you," Sonika said. They split up the food and devoured it, licking the egg from their fingers. Hopefully it would be enough to sustain them for the rest of the day. After that, they would have to figure something out. "We must go," Anja said when the food was gone and the plates cleaned. Sonika nodded. Their masters would be expecting their own meals to be prepared soon. Gat said, "Thank you, for everything." "Will we see you again?" Anja asked. "I don't know," Sonika said, ignoring the dark look her brother shot her way. "You are welcome here," Noah said, "if you need us." "Thank you," Sonika said, watching as they left, joining the throng of slaves already marching through the canyons. Gat said, "We have nowhere else to go." She finally met his eyes. "Yes, we do. We have a mine to liberate." "This is madness," Gat said. Sonika grinned. He was probably right. A little madness was exactly what she needed right now. In truth, she was surprised she'd persuaded her brother to come this far with her. Then again, She hadn't given him much choice when she told him she was going, whether or not he came along. They were hidden behind a rocky outcropping in view of one of the many Phoenician mines scattered across the sweltering flatlands. The dust beneath them was turning to mud as they dripped sweat under the blazing heat of the sun. "It would take an army to take Junis," Gat said, shaking his head. That's where he was wrong. The thing about slaves who were not only in captivity, but whose minds were being controlled by magic, they didn't try to escape. The only purpose of the mine masters was to give orders and ensure the mine met the quotas set by the Empire. Junis was a copper mine, one of the lesser mines. It was worked by perhaps 200 slaves. Thus far, they'd seen 6 different masters emerge into the sunlight, most to urinate in the desert. They'd seen each of the 6 twice, which meant that was likely the sum total of them, unless one had a particularly large bladder. Still, 2 against 6 were not the best odds, not that she would admit it. "I've seen you fight. You could take any 3 of them." He scoffed. "And you'll take the other 3. Remember Mother? You're not Mother. You're a dancer." His negativity bounced off her like she was wearing leather armor. Pessimism paved a slippery trail to despair, and she didn't want to sink back into that hole. She needed to have a purpose, like her parents had. Something real. Something meaningful. "We won't know if we don't try." "Madness," Gat muttered again. "I won't even be able to say, 'I told you so,' if we're dead. Guess you'll have to trust me. Do you think this is what they would want? For us to throw our lives away?" His words hit her like a rock to the face, but he wasn't done yet. "Why do you think they hid so much from us in the first place? They wanted us to live without fear." "Look how that turned out," Sonica said, too loudly, considering they were hiding. She lowered her voice, wishing the words back as soon as she said them, but couldn't stop, her frustration boiling over like an unwatched pot. "We will never again live without fear if we don't strike back, if we don't stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. I don't want to be scared any more. I want the Emperor to fear me." The words were too bold by half, but she meant them just the same. Gat sighed. "Why is it you always convince me to go along with your fool-brained schemes?"
"Because you're a fool," Sonica offered sweetly.
"Yes. Yes, I am."
"So you'll help me free, Junis?"
"When?"
"Tonight. After dark."
He shook his head, but it wasn't an answer. Sonica knew her brother would follow her to the ends of the earth and back again if she asked. She clenched her fists, wishing the day would grow wings. They formulated the skeleton of a plan, hoping the skin and muscle would appear when the time came. Then they napped, getting as much rest as possible while hiding in the shade cast by the rocks. They awoke when the sun was a finger's breadth above the horizon, watching in silence as it fell, shattering like a broken egg yolk, painting the cloudless sky with streaks of color. They waited. The sky darkened. One by one, the 6 soldiers emerged, relieving themselves once more in the desert before, presumably, lying down to sleep for the night. Almost certainly at least 2 of them would guard the mine at any given time, working in shifts. Sonica liked those odds much better. They waited. Ruahi rose, the moon god's red eye peering down from behind a half-open lid. Luahi followed, the barest sliver of green. Stars speckled the sky, green and gold and red. The greens exploded. The golds sparkled. The reds streaked like flaming arrows across the sky. They waited. Several clouds moved overhead like co-conspirators. The desert darkened further, a land of shadows.
"Now,"
Sonica said. Gat grabbed her arm.
"Wait."
She looked back. His eyes were shrouded, his expression impossible to discern.
"What?"
"I didn't think you'd really do it."
"Well, I am. For Mother. For Father. For the slaves."
He said nothing, still holding her arm.
"You're not scared, are you?"
"No." It wasn't a flippant answer. His tone heavy and true.
"Me neither.
Hearing the truth in her own words surprised her. Wasn't it natural to feel scared before a deadly mission? And yet she felt only certainty. We're still grieving. We can't control our own emotions. Perhaps we should wait. Take more time to think about it. Sonika didn't want to do that. She was afraid the more time that passed, the more her fear would grow. I'm doing this. I want to do it together, but if you don't want to, I understand. He released her arm, and her heart sank in disappointment. I'll be back soon, she said. You'll wait for me? No, he said. She felt like she'd been slapped. Oh, then I'll try to find you. No, he said again. I meant I won't wait for you because I'm coming with you. A deep breath, the night seeming to breathe along with her, winds swirling. Are you certain? Yes. Let's make them proud. Sonika stepped forward and hugged him firmly, relishing the feel of his strong arms around her. We will. Crouching as they ran, they moved silently across the desert, until the shadow of the mine seemed to swallow them whole. Standing on either side of the mine entrance, they heard muted voices and low laughter. Light flickered from within, fireflies dancing across the shadows. They were as patient as spiders. Eventually there were footsteps, heavy and without caution. It was just another night as a mine master, boring and uneventful. As they'd planned, Sonika took several large steps back and waited. The moment the guard emerged, she cleared her throat loudly enough for him to hear. He whipped his head toward the sound, immediately falling into Fenru's stance, his fists and feet glittering with weapons. Sorry I startled you, she said. He peered through the gloom. She took a step forward to make it easier to see her. You're a woman? Though he said it as a question, her voice would have given that fact away already. She saw the moment his posture relaxed. He had nothing to fear from a woman, or so he thought. I am a gift from the Emperor, she purred. He values the work you do here. She hated and relished the way his lips curled up. So predictable. Come inside. The moment the words left his lips, he sensed the attack. Sonika didn't know if he'd heard Gat's footfalls, or simply felt the displacement of air as he moved across the mine's entrance, but the guard instinctively ducked just before Gat rammed into him from behind. To Sonika's horror, her brother flipped over the guard's head, somersaulting and landing hard on his back. She was already moving forward, certain of what was about to transpire, even before the guard slashed one of his bladed fists down toward Gat's throat. She released a war cry as she launched herself into the air, performing a complex Fen-Sir maneuver that was typically an exercise in body control and grace, as one spun twice before landing deftly on pointed toes. Sonika had modified it. Each day, after she'd finished teaching the art of the womanly dance, she would practice a different version, one meant to defend, to attack, to be a weapon. Though still full of grace, her body slashed more than twirled, cutting the air to ribbons, her arms spread to each side and whipping around her core, building momentum. Instead of landing on one foot, she lashed out with her foot, catching the guard in the mouth moments before he would have slit Gat's throat. The impact was doubled by the fact that he was moving in the opposite direction, his own force compounding the strength of the blow. His head snapped back, his feet crumpled beneath him, and he toppled over with a stunned howl. Gat was on his feet in an instant, landing a powerful kick to the man's head. The master tried to protect himself with his fists, but her brother simply changed the trajectory of his kicks, landing blow after blow until the guard went still and silent. One down, Sonika thought, feeling half jittery, half numb. They moved toward the entrance. The commotion almost certainly would have drawn the second guard, and, sure enough, they heard footsteps pounding. Only it didn't sound like one said. More like two, at least. The guards emerged at the same time, their heads swiveling around. Moments later, a loud bell started clanging from within. A moment after that, the guards spotted her and Gat, their eyes dancing from one to the other before falling on the unmoving guard behind them on the ground. "What in the void?" one said. Sonika charged forward, springing off her hands. Even as she flew backwards, she tracked the guard she was targeting, who raised his bladed fists, preparing for her to launch through the air as any master of Fenru might do. But she was no master of the art of the Red Moon God. No, hers was the art of the sun, and even in the dark of night she knew the goddess would shine upon her. Instead of propelling herself into the air, the second her feet landed, she angled them forward, allowing herself to slide, using her arms to cushion her landing. Still, it jolted her body. The man tried to readjust his positioning, but was a half beat too slow. Her heels slammed into his ankles, sliding just over his blades. Like a felled tree, he toppled, landing on her but rolling away as he clutched his shattered legs. She rolled back and then launched her feet forward, snapping them like a whip. She landed on her feet, turning to find Gat on top of the other guard, using his powerful knees to hold his hands at bay while he rained punch after punch into his face. "We can do this," Sonica thought. "Three down." Though she'd always held the self-belief necessary to be successful, until this moment she'd always thought of it as a dream more than reality. But now? She nodded at Gat, and he nodded back. They flew toward the mine entrance, where the bells continued to toll. Wall torches cast a flickering orange glow across the interior of the cavern. Inside there was evidence of a game, the board littered with various colored gemstones worth a small fortune. Half-empty tin cups sat nearby, as well as plates of half-eaten food. Several tunnels branched off from the first cave. Three were silent. One contained the distant echoes of shouts, which was a concern, but far enough away to save for later. From the final tunnel burst shouts and more footfalls, loud and frantic. Torchlight preceded the noises. "Three more, at most," Sonica reminded Gat. It was as much a reminder to her as him. "You take the one that goes left. I'll handle the other two." She nodded grimly, adrenaline roaring through her veins. The masters shot from the tunnel like boulders from a catapult, skidding to a stop when they saw who waited for them. "Who are you?" the one in the center said. The leader, presumably. Without thinking, the words poured from Sonica's mouth. "We are the liberators, the bringers of freedom and justice. We are death to our enemies, blades in the Emperor's side." Gat stared at her, his mouth slightly open. Sonica ignored him. The man's eyes narrowed. "Rebels," he spat. "Wait, a man and a woman. Yes, you fit the description. You're the missing Vades, aren't you? The ones who escaped." The response took Sonica by surprise. She hadn't considered the fact that masters in the mines would already know about what had transpired in Fenia. No matter. It didn't change why they were here. "Come for vengeance," she said. Anger pulsed through her. These men were no different than the ones who killed their parents. They deserved what was coming to them. The echoes from the other tunnel grew louder. Gat exchanged a look with her and she shrugged. All of the guards were already accounted for. Perhaps the slaves had been riled up by the bells? Then again, she'd never known slaves to get excited about anything. Their slave marks seemed to prevent that kind of emotion. "We have the advantage of numbers," the leader said. "Submit now, and perhaps the Emperor will be merciful." "You had the advantage of numbers," Sonica said. "Three guards are down. We will make short work of the rest." The man smiled now. "As you wish." Without command, the two men on each flank moved forward, circling wide to the sides, while the leader eased toward them more cautiously. "He's the one to watch," Sonica thought. As agreed, she turned to the left to face her foe, a tall, wiry man. He'd hastily donned leather armor, though the straps were loose, untied. It gave him the appearance of an armadillo. She tried a different tactic this time. She began to dance. She kicked one leg high in the air, swooping to the left as she brought it down gracefully. Her toes were pointed, her arms forming perfect circles, like halos of sunlight cascading through glass. The man stopped, unsure of how to proceed. "He's never fought a woman before," she realized. "None of them have. I am an enigma, just like Mother was." She spun, whipping her head around ahead of the rest of her body, using her foe to spot, ensuring she wouldn't grow dizzy.
Around and around she went, twice, thrice, four times, five. She used her right leg to keep her momentum going, kicking it in and out, eight spins, nine, ten. She saw the moment the man made a decision, growing tired of her games. It was the way he leaned back slightly, seeming to gather his own momentum for a strike the instant she spun away from him. 11. He came, but she was already kicking out, striking him in the throat, sending him staggering backward, gagging. She pursued the advantage, coming out of her next spin in a full sprint, slightly dizzy but not enough to prevent the arrow-straight charge at her foe. She threw herself into a spear kick, her head, arms and torso the handle, her feet the blade, hitting him full force in the chest. It was another modified maneuver, though, if anything, she felt more graceful doing it this time, rather than less. He stumbled backward, colliding with the rock wall, hitting the back of his head. His eyes rolled into his skull and he fell face forward, his jaw ratcheting off of Sonica's well-placed knee. His tongue lolled out as he lay prostrate on the ground. Sonica turned to find Gat embroiled in a struggle with the other two. He held one from behind, holding his own blade to the man's throat, using him as a threat and a shield to the last guard, the leader.
"It's over," the leader said snidely.
Sonica realized then that the sounds from the other tunnel were closer now, too close for comfort. They didn't sound like the shouts of excited slaves. They sounded like the rough yells of guards in a frenzy. There were only supposed to be six. Realization hit her so hard, she took a step away from the tunnel. "There's another entrance."
"Reinforcements," the leader said. "What sort of mine would only have half a dozen masters?"
Sonica felt like a fool. This was supposed to be her first mission, the continuation of her parents' rebellion, and she hadn't even checked the back of the mine for another entrance.
She'd let them down, let her brother down, and, worst of all, let all the slaves down.
Gat said, "Sonica, we have to go, now."
"You're not going anywhere," the leader said, stepping between Gat and the entrance, which was now their only way out.
"Kill him,"
Sonica said, anger and frustration coursing through her.
"What?"
her brother said.
"The guard. Kill him. It's our only chance."
Even to her own ears, her words sounded cold, without feeling or remorse.
"I don't care. They killed my parents. They ripped out my heart without thought or feeling.
I've never..." She sprang forward and grabbed the man's hand, raking it across his throat. His eyes shot open, blood spurting. Gat's mouth was open in horror, and for a moment he held the man up, as if struggling to comprehend what she had just done. But then, slowly, he released him, the body slumping to the floor. The leader said,
"You will pay for that with your own blood."
"Let's go,"
Sonica said, grabbing her brother's arm. He flinched, seeming to snap out of his stupor.
"Let us pass and we won't kill you," Gat said.
The leader seemed to consider, glancing at the tunnel, which was beginning to lighten as torches approached. Then he stepped aside with a wave of his arm.
"We will hunt you to the ends of the four kingdoms. No, the ends of the earth."
"Good luck,"
Sonica growled. They sprinted forward, out into the night. Her legs were aching, her lungs burning. There was nowhere to hide in the flatlands, save for a handful of rocky outcroppings that were useless to them because their pursuers could see them. They'd been running for what felt like half the night, and still their enemies followed. They took turns harrying them, one sprinting forward, closing the distance, forcing them to run faster and tire themselves out. Then he would drop back and allow another to give chase. The effect was exhausting, and Sonica didn't know how much longer she could keep it up. Gat said,
"There,"
the word coming out a gasp. Emerging from the shadowy wasteland was a much larger outcropping, one that seemed to continue all the way to something else, a dark emptiness that seemed to move.
"What is it?"
"The burning sea," Gat said. "And the red spires. We can make it." Renewed energy and hope flowed through her.
"Yes, we can make it."
They'd cut the distance in half when disaster struck. Sonica's foot caught the edge of something hidden in the dark.
a half-buried rock or the wind-weathered skull of some long-dead desert animal. She fell. Training to be a master of fencer, she knew how to fall, but this was so unexpected she hardly had time to lower her shoulder and extend her hands in the right way. Still, she managed to land at a decent angle, somersaulting and avoiding breaking.